2020 color. Expires 11/4/17. Exclusions apply.
Does Clayton Kershaw get the job done for the Dodgers tonight and pitch them to their first World Series since 1988? 319-366-1600.
You're from freaking Iowa.
This aggression will not stand, man.
From the heart of Eastern Iowa and the insert name of sponsor here, studio.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show.
Now, wait a minute. Dave Roberts asked Wolf to consult with the third base umpire, Eric Cooper. In fact, he's inviting all of the umpires in to talk with Jim Wolf. Interesting that the outfield umpires have been invited in. What in the world they could have seen?
Follow me! Follow me to freedom!
I have been waiting to bust out the Charlie Steiner Follow Me to Freedom sound clip this entire series, and I had to wedge it in to that clip. Welcome in. It is a Thursday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, and it is a packed show. We are tight up until 7 o'clock tonight. We're going to talk a little Northwestern football with Will Raggetz of the SB Nation Northwestern website at 5 o'clock. Iowa heads to Evanston this weekend where they'll take on the Wildcats. Alex Halstead is going to drop by from 24/7 Sports. We'll talk Iowa State football and basketball with him. The Cyclones are on the road at Texas Tech this weekend. And normally we chat with Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com on Wednesday to answer your fantasy football questions and solve any lineup dilemmas that you may have. But because he was in meetings yesterday, we're going to have him with us tonight. Thursday means would ya as well, and yeah, we'll be talking about Game 5 of the National League Championship Series tonight at Wrigley Field. First pitch set for a little bit after 7 o'clock, and we can't talk about Game 5 without talking about Game 4 last night and the umpiring once again taking center stage and Joe Maddon getting ejected over what turned out to be a really bad decision by the umpiring crew last night. And luckily for Cubs fans, it's one that didn't cost the Cubs in the long run. It took another pitch from Wade Davis to strike Curtis Granderson out again. But Alex Kuhn, it's hard not to watch that and ask yourself whether or not Major League Baseball has a replay problem because they could not review the quote-unquote foul tip of Curtis Granderson, and then upon a conclave on the field, the umpires, including the third base umpire Eric Cooper, who hails from Des Moines, Iowa, by the way, decided that no, he had made contact and Granderson's at bat continued. And at that point, Joe Maddon was upset, to say the least.
I have no idea why that play isn't reviewable, and it will be next year. Is there any doubt in your mind that they're going to change that in the offseason?
Why can't everything be reviewable? If it's on video, it should be reviewable.
Other than balls and strikes.
Other than calling balls and strikes.
I agree.
If everything is on video nowadays. And the worst part of that last night is they've got these beautiful, brand new, within the last couple years, video boards at Wrigley Field, which I've sort of come around on. I still don't like them, but last night I thought they were wonderful because you had 42,000 people whipped into a frenzy because they kept showing the replay over and over and over again, and it was pretty obvious that Granderson didn't touch the ball. And I'm not all for inciting mobs, but they almost did the trick last night. And
did you see Bob Nightingale's tweet? Actually, yeah, you did.
I did. I commented on it because I quoted Mad Men. And the Bartman thing just needs to be put to rest. But that's a fan base, and that was a stadium last night where everybody was on edge. They were waiting for the last shoe to drop, given the way that the first three games of the series played out. And all of a sudden, you had this moment where had the Cubs not won the World Series last year, and that moment takes place last night, then absolutely, that is a total quote-unquote Cubs moment, and you would have put it up there with Bartman and the Black Cat and the Goat and everything else. But they won the World Series last year, so it has a little bit of a different vibe. But a Jake Arrieta, if that's his last start, then kudos to the fans. They gave him a rousing send-off last night as he walked off the mound. Look, he's not a Hall of Fame pitcher. He's not Clayton Kershaw, who's going tonight for the Dodgers, but he's given the Cubs 2.5 really good years, and he's most likely not coming back next year, and if that's it for him, the end of the line, then he went out on a high note because he put his team in a position to come back and be able to play tonight. And if they win and the series has to go back to Los Angeles on Saturday, who's the pressure on at that point? My argument would be it's not on the team that still needs to win 4 straight games when everything is said and done. The pressure, in my opinion, would be on the Dodgers at that point for letting things get out of hand. But just for the record, I did say at the beginning of the series, Dodgers in 5, and tonight would be game 5. And the lineup that Joe Maddon's going to put out there has some people talking because he's got Ben Zobrist in right field over Jason Hayward. And normally you would look and say, hey, Zobrist is a switch hitter. Hayward's a left-hander. Clayton Kershaw is the greatest left-handed pitcher since fill in the blank. Koufax? Fill in the blank. Kershaw is actually better against right-handers than he is left-handers this year. And so not only is Zobrist going to be batting right-handed, but his defense is nowhere near as good as Hayward's is in right field. And Schwarber is in the lineup again tonight in left field. As a lot of people are putting it, cross your fingers and hope that Jose Quintana, who is a fly ball pitcher, is going to be keeping the ball on the ground tonight. Otherwise, it could get really ugly tonight. Cub fans, are you back in on this team after last night? 319-366-1600.
This is still set up for the Los Angeles Dodgers to put away. And I just look at the way that they have everything set up for them. There's no excuse for them not to win this series. However, I agree with you. If they lose tonight and have to go back to Los Angeles and think about these final two, possibly two games of the series on a 4-hour plane ride, then yes, the pressure does definitely build a little bit, especially if the Cubs can further the rhetoric around Clayton Kershaw's postseason struggles and can get by him tonight. So it's very simple for the Dodgers. If the Dodgers get to the fifth or the sixth inning with a lead, they're going to be able to close out the series. The Cubs have to jump on them early. They have to have the lead going into the sixth or seventh inning, and they have to have a starter go 6 or 7 innings. So I'll just be interested to see what happens if the Cubs are up 3-1 in this game tonight in the eighth inning. Who does Joe Maddon go to?
Not Wade Davis. He's already ruled him out, and they went to Davis last night for a 6-out save, and he got the job done. He did give up the solo home run to Justin Turner. Of course, it was Justin Turner. But look, there are a couple things going against the team, in my opinion, tonight. A, you've got the best pitcher in baseball in the other dugout, and he's going to be on the mound tonight. And B, if it's a close game, which if they're winning, it's going to be a close. I don't see them blowing the Dodgers out tonight. If it's not a complete game from Jose Quintana, they're going to have to go to that bullpen, and it's a bullpen that is without Wade Davis tonight. So Woodja is going to focus a little bit on that Ben Zobrist or Jason Hayward decision. Now, the Hertine and Stocker text line, as you can imagine, is quite active today. The number 319-366-1600. You can use that to reach out to us. And what a surprise here. The Cubs fans are all in on the Cubs now that they've won a game and reestablished themselves. And they haven't reestablished anything in this series. There's all 3 runs last night came on home runs. They're still not manufacturing any runs. Now, Javier Baez finally broke out of that slump.
People were really down on him. And he broke out of the slump last night for sure.
I understand why people think the way that they do with regard to it's easy to have a superstar at every position with 99 attributes across the board, if you want to put it in Madden football speak. But that's just not the way that it is. You have to have players at various positions on your roster who sometimes have warts, and everybody knows what his warts are. But when he makes contact the way that he did last night, then you see how special of a player he is. Now, Kyle knows me all too well, because when he heard Joe Maddon last night talking about, I thought the clip about coming out of the clubhouse in his jock strap was going to be the just the icing on the cupcake here. But then, if you remember the APC days, you'll recall that my former co-host and I really enjoy Talladega Nights, the Ballad of Ricky Bobby. And Joe Maddon, it's not a deep cut, it's one of the better known lines from that movie, but Joe Maddon, as upset as he was at the umpires last night, still works in a little humor in his post-game remarks about the situation. I think this is Jesse Rogers, by the way, that was asking the question. I couldn't quite tell. But Joe Maddon quotes Talladega Nights in this clip, and I want to make sure that we get this on, because we don't have a whole lot of time to cover a lot of ground today, but here's Joe Maddon talking about the egregious, awful, disgusting decision by the umpires last night to keep the Curtis Granderson at bat alive, and then at the end he quotes one of my favorite stupid movies of all time.
Well, listen, I'm all about the umpires, first of all. I'm not going to sit here and bang on umpires, I love a lot of guys on this crew. I've known them for a long time. But that can't happen. That the process was horrible to have that change. And if Granderson hits the next pitch out, you know, I might come running out of the clubhouse, you know, my jockstrap. I mean, that was like really that bad. The explanation was eventually it turned into hearing two sounds. Not one of them saw a foul tip or heard or thought it was a foul tip, which I totally cannot agree with that process whatsoever.
You've been ejected before, but I'm not sure that anybody's ever seen you quite as animated. Where would you rate yourself on this one?
And I mean, I was upset. I mean, listen, this is an elimination game, man. This isn't just another one. This isn't June 23rd. This is an elimination game. With all due respect to the umpires, and as Ricky Bobby once said, once you've said with all due respect, then you can say whatever you want.
And he did last night. As a matter of fact, if you go to MLB's website today or the Cubs website and you're watching the clips, they do blur out his lips for those of you who... It's the one thing, I've never been able to do it. I can't read lips.
I don't,
and people are like, whoa, it's obvious what he said there.
You couldn't read his lips last night?
No, I've never been able to read people's lips.
I'll paraphrase for you. It was, that's
I would be the world's
up.
Worst deaf person, because I would be just, I'd be sunk. I can't do it. I've tried, and just... I don't know what's he's clearly telling the umpire that he's not happy with him, but a couple people immediately noticed which words were flying.
I could tell right away.
Now the umpire, Wolf, who was behind home plate, is the brother of former major league pitcher Randy Wolf, which I've always thought was interesting, and he could never work games that his brother was involved in, which I found to be interesting and probably a huge hassle for Major League Baseball. But they gave Joe Maddon this cockamamie line about hearing two distinct sounds. And look, I've umpired games before where there have been 100 people in the stands and it's hard enough to hear what's going on. And 42,000 people in that building last night, and you're going to tell me that he heard two distinct sounds? No. Mike Winters, who's the crew chief, basically said they didn't want to throw Joe Maddon out of that game last night. And Maddon wasn't going to go back to the dugout without getting thrown out at that point, because I think he was trying to give his team something to rally around. And it was a little hairy there with the solo home run from Turner, but they got the double play in the ninth inning and ended the game. And now here we sit tonight on the precipice of Game 5. So here is what we've got for you on KGYM tonight, because it is Thursday night and it is a high school football night. 1600 a.m., you are going to get Waterloo West at Cedar Rapids, Washington. Cubs-Dodgers will be on our FM frequencies, 106.3 in Iowa City and 107.5 in Cedar Rapids. So we will have the Cubs and the Dodgers. We will have it on our FM frequencies for you tonight, and then AM high school football. Before we go to break, I do want to pass along the results of the Carl Inernes pick six. Scott Unash was selected first this week, followed by his teammate Mark Dukes. And then it was the gentleman who won last week with a 5-1 record. That would be yours truly. Then Sean, Kyle, and bringing up the rear, inexplicably bringing up the rear this week with the sixth selection, Alex Kuhn. Alex.
It's not how you start, it's how you finish. That's a Ricky Bobby. Alex, no, that's not it.
Would
it's,
you
it's
rather?
Not, if you're not first, you're last. Huh.
Yeah, and that was his dad. That was Reese Bobby who said that, not Ricky. Would you rather be picked last in the Carl Inernes pick six or have Memphis lose to Houston tonight? If you had to choose, Alex's brother is in action tonight. Please tell me that game's on TV.
It's on ESPN. Yes.
It's on ESPN tonight. What time?
7 o'clock.
I won't be watching because I'll be watching the Cubs and the Dodgers.
I figured.
For those of you who are not watching the Cubs and the Dodgers tonight and you want to get your college football fix and you want to, you just can't get enough Kuhn. From 4 to 7 here, at 7 o'clock, you can get his younger brother and the Memphis Tigers, the newly minted top 25 Memphis Tigers. It could be a short stay in the top 25.
Oh, wow.
What's okay. Houston? Well, no, I've got to admit,
they're better than Houston.
The game is in Houston, right?
Yeah, they have to prove that they're better than Houston. It's very simple. They should win, and if they don't play well, they won't.
Who took over? It was one of
Major Applewhite, former Texas quarterback.
Okay,
is the new head coach at Houston, and they're a shell of what they used to be, but it's still a big game in that American West division.
Houston is favored by 2.5 points tonight.
Can't figure it out for the life of me.
But 61% of the betting public is taking the points and Memphis this evening. Alex says 61% making a good decision. 319-366-1600 is 426. Woodja comes early tonight. We are just minutes away from it. But before we can get there, we got to step aside and take a quick timeout. Also, and I neglected to mention this, but you should know by now if you've listened in this week, we do have another $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill that somebody is going to walk away with tonight. LaCantina319.com is the website. We'll tell you a little bit more about them coming up in just a bit. 1600 AM, 106.3, 107.5 FM, the Todd Brolenkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on KGYM returns after this.
Along with the crunch of leaves underfoot and the scent of smoke wisping from the chimneys, fall brings with it a sense of tradition. The certain sound of chattering children in costume on Halloween, or the gathering round the table for a magnificent turkey dinner. There are things you can count on year after year. That's what fall means to the Dickens family. Since the 1940s, they've run Hertin and Stocker as a family business, true to the classic fine jewelry store. Though it may be surprising in these modern times, they still offer a layaway program. Put down some money and pay each month until you're ready to take your piece home. Of course, it's interest-free. During the fall, as you enjoy your family's traditions and begin holiday shopping, walk by and see what's in those famous windows at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and wish a happy 70th anniversary to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Hi, I'm Drew, Division President at Reinhardt Food Service in Cedar Rapids. And Reinhardt is looking to hire Class A CDL drivers. Our average driver makes $65,000 a year, has outstanding benefits, and is home every night for dinner. And right now, we're offering a $7,500 sign-on bonus to join our team. So call today at 319-390-7481 or apply directly at rfshires.com. rfshires.com.
Word on the street is that former Twins manager Ron Gardenhire has a new gig in the AL Central. We'll tell you about that the next chance that we get, but it's get in and get out. And to do that, we send it over to Kyle Mann. He's got your first Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the day. Midwest One, where you're the one.
The official Big Ten preseason honors were released at Big Ten Media Day today in New York City. The Hawkeyes, unsurprisingly, didn't get any all-conference love, while Michigan State sophomore Miles Bridges was voted to be the conference player of the year, as well as being a unanimous all-Big Ten selection. Wisconsin's Ethan Happ and Northwestern's Bryant McIntosh were also unanimous selections. The Big Ten also announced changes to its scheduling format. Beginning next season, the men's teams will play 20 conference games as opposed to 18, playing 7 teams once and 6 teams twice, while the women's teams will play 18 conference games instead of 16, 5 teams twice, and 8 teams once. Big Ten Commissioner Jim Delaney also mentioned that he's considering Philadelphia and Baltimore as possible sites for the Big Ten tournament sometime after 2022. The UNI women's basketball team got a nice legacy commit yesterday. Iowa City West junior Kaylin Morgan announced on Twitter that she'll continue her career for the Panthers. Her brother Jeremy Morgan was a senior on last year's team, and her sister Michaela is a junior for the women's team this year. Tonight after the show on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, we're going to have some high school football action. Scott Unash will be on the call for Waterloo West and Cedar Rapids, Washington. And we're also going to have the Cubs holding on for dear life in Game 5 of the NLCS. It's Jose Quintana taking on Clayton Kershaw at Wrigley Field. First pitch set for 7:08, and that'll be on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Ken Rosenthal of TheAthletic.com says Ron Gardenhire is the new manager of the Detroit Tigers. Woodja is next.
This bottom of the hour Sports Center update is brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. They're celebrating 14 years of service.
Hi, I'm Steve Anderson. Since I grew up 10 minutes from Kinnick Stadium, I've been obsessing over Iowa athletics since birth. Hawkeye teams stand for maximum effort on every play. We founded Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services on some of those same principles. Provide efficient, high-quality real estate title and closing services, whether you're buying or selling a commercial property or buying your first home. We'll also make it a pleasant and fun transaction. Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services, 568 Highway 1 West in Iowa City. The team you love, the people you trust.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. Can the world champion Cubs keep their season alive again? Game 5 of the NLCS at Wrigley Field tonight. Clayton Kershaw and Jose Quintana, the starters. The Dodgers lead the series 3-1. Our coverage of Game 5 starts at 7 Eastern here on ESPN Radio. After surgery that ended early this morning, Celtics forward Gordon Hayward is expected to miss the rest of the season. That's from ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski. Hayward is expected to make a full recovery from a dislocated left ankle and broken left leg. The Chiefs and Raiders in Oakland tonight to kick off Week 7 in the NFL. The Raiders have lost 4 games in a row, and they've lost 5 in a row against Kansas City. Jaguars owner Shad Khan tells USA Today Sports President Donald Trump has a vendetta against the NFL because he wasn't able to buy the Buffalo Bills 3 years ago. Khan says Trump is jealous of the NFL. College football tonight on ESPN at 8 Eastern in the American Conference, 25th-ranked Memphis at Houston.
Want an easy way to see if you could save money on car insurance? GEICO gives you 3. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Go online to geico.com or stop by the GEICO office nearest you. 3 ways you could save 15% or more.
Tomorrow at 3, tune in to 106.3 FM and get ready for City High football action. This is David Schulte, and I'll be your host alongside Gary Fickle for the KGYM tailgate tour with the Iowa National Guard.
For many businesses, hiring is tough, which makes it critical to choose the right place to post your jobs. You need qualified candidates fast and on budget, and you don't want to sign a long-term contract or pay upfront fees. That's why you need Indeed.com, the world's number one job site. Independent research shows Indeed delivers 6 times more hires than any other job site. You can post a job in minutes and even set up screener questions to help you zero in on qualified candidates. You can review applicants, take notes, and schedule interviews, all from an easy-to-use online dashboard. For a limited time, Indeed is offering new users a $50 credit to make their first job listing a sponsored job with premium visibility so more candidates will see it. You want to make a great hire fast, and this exclusive offer gives you a head start. Find out why over 3 million businesses use Indeed for hiring. To redeem this offer, go to Indeed.com/radio. That's Indeed.com/radio. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
I love going to football games. I'm Randy Moss, but I hate tracking down tickets.
That's why your man Charles Woodson has got you covered.
Nobody can cover me, Charles.
I meant I can get us tickets easily with Vivid Seats. Millions of tickets, All guaranteed.
Guaranteed. Like Randy Moss finding the end zone.
If the end zone is where you want to sit, those are the tickets we'll get. Now, how do you want to pay me?
Charles, you already know. Straight cash, homie. Find your seats at Vivid Seats.
See guarantee terms at Vivid Seats.
If you're familiar with cloud computing, you probably know that Amazon Web Services offers a complete set of secure compute, storage, application, and deployment services that help companies launch and scale their IT infrastructures while lowering costs. But did you know that you're still responsible for protecting your own AWS-based assets, meaning your applications and data, from advanced cyber threats? Protect your AWS with Barracuda Networks Advanced Firewall Solutions. Visit AWS Marketplace or barracuda.com/AWS to learn more.
Man, the text line is having a field day with the texter yesterday who suggested Javier Baez be traded, which he very well could be. I don't think he's off limits, but there was somebody yesterday that was like, yeah, they should just get rid of him. And they were serious. And then last night he hits two home runs and, well, blowing a bubble during the second home run. I don't know if you've seen that photo that's circulating out there or not, but he was having fun last night, and the Cubs were having fun for the most part as well until that situation with Curtis Granderson at the plate. And we'll get into that a little bit more coming up later on. The $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill on the way for you as well. And the Hertin and Stocker text line also chiming in on the location of future Big Ten basketball tournaments. But we won't get into that right now because we're going to get into it later in the segment.
It's now time for everyone's favorite weekly segment.
Would you rather know when you're going to die, or would you rather know how you're going to die?
But why would you even say that? For shock value?
Can you give yourself a ding?
It's as simple as a yes or no.
Of course you would. Who wouldn't?
Would you?
Normally, would you is buried in the 6 o'clock hour. But now it's on display at 4:35 for all of you to hear and enjoy, and I use enjoy in air quotation marks. This could be a good decision. It could be. It's not really a decision because of the lineup of guests that we have today. It was either now or 6:30 tonight. So we're doing Would Ya right off the bat. And the first question is Alex Kuhn. Would you rather have Ben Zobrist or Jason Hayward in right field tonight if you were the Cubs? The answer is already out. They're putting Ben Zobrist out there.
Yeah, I guess I'd rather have Ben Zobrist because of the fact that he's a switch hitter. And Jason Hayward is not going to have much of a chance against Clayton Kershaw. I know the argument about defense that Jason Hayward would be clearly the better defensive option out there in right field. But Ben Zobrist has been in the moment. He has played in many elimination games. He has the experience, and he can also hit from the right side. So for a team that's struggling to find any offense and is going against one of the greatest pitchers, not only of our generation, but maybe in the top 10 to 20 of all time, I'm going to go with Zobrist. But you guys know your team better than I do. So what do you think, Kyle?
I was actually thinking about this earlier today before Zobrist had even been, you know, before it was even a Zobrist versus Hayward sort of discussion. There's been a couple balls in this series already when Zobrist is over there and right, and every time a ball is hit that way, I kind of get nervous whenever it's anybody other than Hayward, and even when a ball is hit to left and it's Schwarber over there stumbling around, it really makes me appreciate that defense that we get from Hayward over there and right. It is super dependable, and even more than dependable, he's made a couple really big plays that saved a couple runs, and so it is so easy to brush aside that defensive side of the argument, but it's legit. He is very good in right, and he will save runs. This is going to be a close game, so you need that edge there. And then we look at the batting side of the conversation. Zobrist, sure, he's a switch hitter. From the right side of the plate, he hit 179 this year. And from the left, he hit 249. Jason Hayward, only a left-handed hitter, he hit 259. So, I mean, Hayward's not great, but I would really prefer to have Hayward out there.
All right, let's stick with baseball here, as Ken Rosenthal has reported and others are now falling in line. Ron Gardenhire is returning to the American League Central next year, and he will manage the Detroit Tigers as the replacement for Brad Ausmus. Kyle, if you were Ron Gardenhire, would you want to manage the Tigers?
Honestly, not really, no. It feels a lot like a hire. You know, he's been around for a while. He's a wily guy, knows what he's doing. He can handle a lot of different situations. That Tigers team is in flux. They're not good. I'm not even sure where they are on the spectrum of bad. You know,
really bad.
Yeah, it's just a bad spot for that organization right now. Not a lot of talent, not a lot going on. Gardenhire feels a lot like just a bridge guy who gets them to wherever they want to go in 2 or 3 years from now, and then he's going to be gone. As a guy who's just trying to get a job in the league, sure, I understand why you take a big league managing job. But if I could have picked from, 10 teams, all bad, the Tigers are near the bottom. I don't want anything to do with them.
For a guy who has managed 12 major league seasons, it doesn't make much sense to see him go into this situation where they're going to be losing, and almost losing on purpose, for the next year or two. I know the way things ended with the Minnesota Twins, they were somewhat doing the same thing. The core players were getting old, and they were trying to rebuild, and things just started to go south for him in Minnesota. And this feels like he's just jumping into this situation. And I go back to Bo Porter with the Houston Astros, and Todd, you bring it up all the time. You wish that Bo Porter, the former Iowa Hawkeye, would be able to see some of the benefits of this full-fledged rebuild that the Houston Astros are going under. I'm not sure Ron Gardenhire is A, going to have the patience, or B, going to see the beginning of the fruits of the rebuild labor in Detroit. So I wouldn't take that job. I know that he had interviewed with a couple other franchises, including the Boston Red Sox. I'd wait for another one to open up or stay where I'm at right now.
This is a really interesting decision on the part of Ron Gardenhire, because this job, you're going nowhere. They traded Justin Verlander. They traded Justin Upton. They're completely dumping salary. They don't really have, if you're not familiar with Detroit's minor league system, they don't really have a lot of talent coming up that is, in my opinion, going to make a big impact. And for this to probably be your last big league managerial job. And hey, I'm glad that Ron Gardenhire his health has returned to the point where he's able to manage again in the big leagues. That's tremendous. And he did a great job working with Arizona on Torey Lovullo's bench. But this is just this has a questionable decision written all over it. We go from baseball to football. And Alex, how would you move forward if you were the Green Bay Packers? We talked earlier in the week, and it's Brett Hundley or bust right now for Green Bay.
You see what you have with Brett Hundley. And like Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette said earlier in the week when he joined us, you hope that you give him as much time as possible to either show that he is a potential starter and a trade piece, or you tank for the rest of the season. You keep him as your quarterback. They've put 3 years of investment into Brett Hundley. He's been sitting behind Aaron Rodgers since 2015. I'm not saying that he's going to go in there and win many games, because I don't think that the roster is constructed in a fashion for him to do that. I don't think that the coaching staff is going to adjust well enough to make Brett Hundley an effective starting quarterback to the point where he's going to go out there and win you a game. But he has to play, and bringing in who are even the rumors, Tony Romo, fresh out of the broadcaster's booth, or Colin Kaepernick. Those guys, I always find it interesting when a quarterback gets hurt, there's always the question of, oh, well, who are they going to go out and get right away to make their starting quarterback? Who's out there? When was the last time one of those actually worked? When was the last time somebody signed a quarterback off the street who was not playing, and that quarterback came in and made a difference? I guess Sam Bradford is the closest thing you can get to that with the Minnesota Vikings, but it never works. You go with the guy who has a little bit of talent, who has been in the system for 3 years, and you see what you have. Because right now, this is an evaluation period for the Green Bay Packers, life without Aaron Rodgers, and I don't think they're going to like what they see.
Yeah, the Packers find themselves in a very sneaky situation here because, as you said, like you're going to throw Brett Hundley out there, and for the first week or two, you're going to say, "Oh, we're going to see what we got here. We're going to see how good we can still be." You know, I can tell you, it's probably not going to be that good. Aaron Rodgers is kind of one of those. He's a Tom Brady. He's in that small collection of quarterbacks where you put him out on the field and your not so great team all of a sudden looks really good. The defense isn't good enough to win then games. And, I mean, you're looking at a backfield. Aaron Jones has looked good, but once Ty Montgomery takes that job back, you're talking about a slot receiver playing running back. So I think the offense is going to fall off, you know, kind of pretty bad. And so what I would do if I'm the Packers, this is always such a hard sell to a fan base, but you can throw Brett Hundley out there, say we're trying to win, but they're not going to win. They're going to end up with a pretty good pick. They can get some good talent in this draft. You know, there's really not a whole lot to say. They're not going to be that great. It's just whether or not they're going to admit publicly that they're not going to be that great. And I think the point that you make about, you know, where are you going to find this quarterback who just slides right in and makes your team good again, it doesn't happen, especially in the middle of the season. I mean, you throw Sam Bradford out there, he probably is one of the best examples. They got a hold of him before the season started, so he had at least a little bit of prep time. That's just not out there for the Packers. If I'm them, I'm feeling very sneaky. I'm going to try to get some good picks in this draft, come back next year with you know, some pretty good talent and a good team again.
The text line is coming hot and heavy with examples of backup quarterbacks taking over mid-season. Alex is talking about a guy who's out of a job.
Coming off the street.
With no practice whatsoever, just dumping it. By the way, Mike McCarthy this week got downright indignant when asked about Colin Kaepernick. Just made it seem like that was a ludicrous idea. Colin Kaepernick, who is pretty familiar with the West Coast style of offense and could probably pick up what the Packers are trying to do, but that's neither here nor there. They want to try to see if Brett Hundley can get flipped into a fourth or third round draft pick somewhere in a deal. That's fine, whatever. Would you like to see the Big Ten tournament in Philadelphia or another East Coast venue, Alex Kuhn?
No.
Big Ten Media Day is going on today in the heart of Big Ten country, New York City.
Why are they putting the Big Ten basketball tournament in a place where it is a difficult trip for 95% of Big Ten fans and Big Ten media members to get to? I remember last year, the Big Ten basketball tournament was in Washington, D.C. We had Jeremiah Davis of the Cedar Rapids Gazette joining the show, and we asked him straight up, what is the feeling like in Washington, D.C.? Does anybody even know that there is a basketball tournament going on? And the answer was no. There's no feeling around that basketball tournament in Philadelphia or Washington, D.C. It's not going to be great. I don't care if it's in Madison Square Garden. An empty Madison Square Garden is not going to produce a great atmosphere. So put it in Indianapolis, maybe Chicago. Chicago kind of goes through that same feeling. It's the number 8 or 9 event during that weekend going on in the city of Chicago, but at least it's centrally located. At least most of the fans are within driving distance of Chicago. So I get why they're doing it. It's for TV revenue and to try to get their conference footprint out there, but it's just never going to happen. And Ryan from Walford is saying Kurt Warner is one of those players, but he was signed 2 years before he started his first game.
Don't come at Kuhn with Rams knowledge. He's going to beat you down every time.
You make that it is easy to understand why they're trying to move it way out there to the East Coast. They're trying to expand that footprint, but this isn't really even a difficult concept to think about. The Big Ten lives in the Midwest, and I gave Tom Caker a call during the gym class. I had to get him ready to come on and talk to Scott and Mark, and I asked him, you know, you didn't make the trip out to New York City today, and he says, you know, no, it's off top of his head, he knew of two people in the Iowa media who made the trip. Two people in the whole state. And if I mean, that's not the conference tournament. That's media day. But why would you put it so far away where none of your media, or I won't say none, you know, but a large portion of your media isn't going to make that trip for a couple hours of endless interviews? It is so far away, it's just not worth it. And like Alex said, people out there just don't really care about the Big Ten as much as the Big Ten wishes it did. They need to bring it back so the Big Ten fans can appreciate the Big Ten.
Look, I get playing at Madison Square Garden this year, which is where the Big Ten Conference Tournament is going to be held. It is the mecca of college basketball and the mecca of sports. Madison Square Garden is the place to have your conference tournament. I get that. But people in New York are not going to embrace the Big Ten Tournament there. And I get the idea of Philadelphia because no city is bigger on college basketball than Philadelphia. Philadelphia is college basketball central. Fran McCaffrey would probably really love to play the Big Ten tournament in Philadelphia because he's got friends and family all over the place there. But this is just, and then that's what elicited the audible groan earlier today when I heard this for the first time. You got to be kidding me. Play this thing in Indianapolis, play it in Chicago, but for the love of God, this is Big Ten country. The East Coast is not, and nor will it ever be, Big Ten country. And that's fine. Take their money, get on their cable packages, and call it a day. And that's what this was all about with the Big Ten to begin with. But this continued insistence that we try to make Baltimore or New York City or Philadelphia Big Ten country. Come on. 319-366-1600, by the way, if you want to play along with us at home during Would You, as many of you are on the text line. The problem with this is, and I've noted this in the past, although I don't think I've ever said it on the air, is that when you are playing with a loaded gun like we do on this program every day and taking phone calls and live radio, we broadcast on a delay so that some chucklehead can't come on and drop F-bombs right and left. And because of that, there's a little bit of a delay in you hearing what we say. So I'm moving on to the next topic, and by the time we're 30 seconds in to said topic, then people are trying to talk about the last topic, and then it just makes this segment an even bigger cluster than it already is. Alex, we'll close on this one. This isn't just, it's unfair that someone who doesn't like the Cubs is getting Cubs questions, but that's the way that life goes. Who would you use in the ninth inning tonight if you were the Cubs and you needed a closer? And you can't say Wade Davis because he's been ruled out. The answer is Javier Baez.
I guess John Jay. I like that 55 mile an hour fastball.
Get the Ephus pitch going.
Really fool the Dodgers. Start him in the inning. And then, I don't know, Pedro. I guess Pedro Strop. You have to... find somebody in that bullpen that's reliable, because if you don't, you're not going to last very much longer in the playoffs, despite having, we're assuming they have a lead late in that game tonight.
Oh, it's a big hype. Yes, it's a huge hypothetical.
It's a hypothetical. And if they have the lead late tonight, you got to find somebody else that can close out a game. And it, like I said, if they don't, then they're not going to last very long. And Pedro Strop or I guess that's really the only other reliever out of the bullpen that Joe Maddon trusts. You got to go to him. And wait, Hector Rondon is in fact on the ALC or the NLCS roster. Is he?
Yes, he pitched in game one.
Okay.
Because he was the only fresh reliever
that they had.
Yeah. People were questioning, why is there Rondon? Well, because he was the only fresh reliever that they had.
Or Carl Edwards Jr.
Pay attention to I got no problem with people moaning and complaining about the team, but just pay attention. And use common sense. Maddon, by the way, has said that a starter will most likely not pitch in relief tonight. So
is the answer Carl Edwards Jr.?
It would be for me, but then again, I'm not a charter member of the Carl Edwards Jr. sucks and isn't good fan club, which some people out there on Twitter were during the game the other night. And I thought, come on, watch the team. Alex is going with Pedro Strop. But only if he puts his hat on the right way.
Maybe if Jason Hayward's still available off the bench, he's got a nice arm. But really, I don't know. Because if it's not Wade Davis, There's not a single guy who they could bring in who I feel even a little bit good about. I know we're going to see probably at least one walk, maybe a wild pitch. I have a feeling that in the moment, Madden's probably going to go with Carl Edwards, but my concern with Edwards isn't even, you know, that when his confidence is good, I think he's susceptible to having kind of questionable outings. But my concern with him at, you know, this far into this series, into this postseason, I don't think his confidence can handle a very tense situation in the ninth inning. I really don't know. If it were up to me in a perfect, crazy world, maybe it depends who they're planning on starting in a potential game five or potential game six or game seven. Maybe you look at Kyle Hendricks or John Lester, but I mean, that's obviously not realistic. I really don't know. I have a feeling Madden would go with Edwards again because he's stuck by him all year. But I'd feel equally as not confident with Strope or Rondon.
If Madden is still in the dugout and hasn't been ejected yet at this point. And yes, I could not agree more. 67-60 on the Hertin and Stocker text line. This is where Justin Wilson sucking kills the Cubs because he's not even on the National League Championship Series roster right now, but he was closing games for Detroit when he was acquired. And he was going to be that guy who maybe had a little bit of closing experience that you could turn to as a stopgap when Davis wasn't available. And here we are. Here we sit.
Oh,
Hector Rondon.
I think Tone is just trolling you guys. He says lackey.
Well, no, look, Madden. No, look, I don't get this. When the manager says a starting pitcher is not going to be used in relief, you have to take the manager at his word. So it's not even worth considering at this point. 319-366-1600. Mark Dukes, by the way, says that there are a lot of good bowling alleys in Detroit. Perhaps that's why Ron Gardenhire chose to take over the Tigers, a dead-end job. We're going to have to keep it here.
We will.
We're going to have to keep it here because the segment ran long, and we've got to squeeze in a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, with over 40 locations across the corridor for all your banking needs.
The official Big Ten preseason honors were released at Big Ten Media Day today in New York City. The Hawkeyes unsurprisingly didn't get any all-conference love, while Michigan State sophomore Miles Bridges was voted to be the conference player of the year, as well as being a unanimous all-Big Ten selection. Wisconsin's Ethan Happ and Northwestern's Bryant McIntosh were also unanimous selections. The Big Ten also announced changes to its scheduling format. Beginning next season, the men's teams will play 20 conference games as opposed to 18, playing 7 teams once and 6 teams twice, while the women's teams will play 18 conference games instead of 16, 5 teams twice and 8 teams once. Big Ten Commissioner Jim Delaney also mentioned that he's considering Philadelphia and Baltimore as possible sites for the Big Ten tournament sometime after 2022. The UNI women's basketball team got a nice legacy commit yesterday. Iowa City West junior Kaylin Morgan announced on Twitter that she's going to continue her career for the Panthers. Her brother Jeremy Morgan was a senior on last year's team, and her sister Michaela is a junior for the women's team right now. Tonight after the show on 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym, we're going to have some high school football action. Scott Unash will be on the call for Waterloo West and Cedar Rapids, Washington. And we're also going to have the Cubs holding on for dear life in Game 5 of the NLCS. It's Jose Quintana taking on Clayton Kershaw at Wrigley Field. First pitch is set for 7:08, and that's going to be on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
$30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill is going to be somebody's within the next 60 minutes. Will Raggetts of the SB Nation Northwestern website is joining us to kick off hour number two. We'll preview this week's Iowa Northwestern game at Ryan Field. Cyclone talk to come at 5:30 with Alex Halstead and Tristan Cockcroft answering your fantasy football questions on a Thursday instead of his usual Wednesday time slot. Hour number one in the books, hour number two to come. Keep it right here.